Happy holidays. This is Nathaniel from the Film Experience. This is part two of our special holiday podcast. On the previous edition, we talked about SAG and Globe nominations. As a reminder, we did record this about 10 days ago, so it's a smidge out of date, such as I mentioned that the foreign film finalists have not yet been announced, but of course they have when you're reading this. When you're reading this, when you're listening to this. And once again, I'm joined by Joe Reed from Decider, Katie Rich from Vanity Fair, and Nick Davis from Nick's Flick Picks. And we hope you enjoy. We'll be naming our favorite Christmas movies and talking about Carol, 45 Years, and several other things, and as well as giving out Christmas gifts and lumps of coal to actors, filmmakers, and movies that we loved or didn't love so much.
I'm excited to get into like the bake-off stage of the season too, where the tech categories start. Like, there's always those one or two movies that's just like, "Huh, you guys really liked this movie more than I thought you did." And
yeah, there's some if the whole thing goes according to last year's dates, they'll be announcing the foreign film finalists at the end of the week.
Oh, cool! How many did they narrow it down to? 15.
No, 9, which I still don't get because everything else gets 10 or 15. I don't get why.
Yeah, 9 seems like such a random number.
Yeah.
You can't be asking people to watch 10 non-English language movies. Even seen Carol yet. Like, come on.
Yeah. I do like that, though, because it really helps sort of streamline my end-of-year viewing and sort of helps me. I like that documentary announced their shortlist so early because it really will allow me to like watch all 15 of those, and that'll be fun.
Yeah. Oh, well, now that
fun is maybe not the right word when we're talking about like The Hunting Ground and whatever.
Look of Silence.
Yeah. Well, Look of Silence I've already seen, so ba bam.
Look at you.
I'm never that caught up on documentaries. Almost never have I seen all 5. That are nominated, but this year I'm like even less than usual. Like, I don't think I've seen anything.
Oh, really? I've got a way better jump on documentary this year than I've ever had. So,
like, it's the one category I'm always like, I just can't get myself because I'm constantly trying to catch up with narrative features. So,
yeah.
Well, as we learned from the Critics Awards, you only need to have watched Amy. Watching one is fine.
I haven't even seen that though. Oh, no, it's not true. I saw Going Clear, Scientology.
Right.
And I'm really looking forward to Listen to Me, Marlon, but I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's been hanging out on my DVR forever because it was on Showtime and I recorded it off of Showtime.
And I really wanted to see Heart of a Dog, but it just didn't work with my schedule when Toronto.
Oh, it's so amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I keep hearing that.
Love.
I think I avoided it because I'm not a pet person, but I feel like I'm
Nick, didn't
to
don't you love Barbara Kopple?
Yeah,
because she has one this year. Miss Sharon Jones.
Oh yeah,
that was at Toronto, and I kept meaning to see it, and I didn't.
Heart of a Dog isn't as like all wrapped up in the dog as it sounds like it is. Like it, okay. I was surprised by that. It definitely does have amazing dog scenes, including one where her beloved and recently deceased dog does a piano recital for charity, which is phenomenal. So that's my new Denny Levant with an accordion. Like, this should just happen halfway through every movie. That's Lola Bell play the goddamn piano. Uh-huh. But it turns into this whole thing about her family and her upbringing and like what it feels like when you just have to admit you don't love your mother. If that's your situation, and then she's doing all these weird things with the images. It's not animated, but she it's visually really odd, but I loved everything about it.
Okay, cool.
Well, hopefully I will get the screener of that. I have most of the other 15 on screener, but yeah. I don't have that one. Now it's I'm sounding like those SAG voters, like, I got my screeners, now I can watch.
I thought about saying it, but I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes that's the only way to see things, especially like the shorts. The only way I get to see things ahead of time is if somebody sends me like a screening link or something.
Yeah.
Unless it's the Pixar short showing before a movie, you know.
Yeah, well, there is sort of a, like, you know, by land and sea and air kind of, like, method to, like, having to cobble together ways to see movies like the documentaries and the, you know, the shorts and the foreign language films and that kind of thing. So it feels always slightly like Carmen Sandiego-ish, like, how am I going to track all these things down?
Did anybody see Sanjay's Super Team yet?
What?
No.
No, that was Pixar short? In front of Good Dinosaur, right?
Yeah.
I've not seen it. I haven't seen Good Dinosaur.
I haven't seen it. So I have to be catching up on all those in the next couple of weeks. Yeah. And I still haven't seen World of Tomorrow, which we've reviewed twice on the site. just because other people... I mean, I love Don Hertzfeldt too, but I just haven't sat down and watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep checking Amazon to see if that's come up and still no.
Well, it's on Vimeo.
But... I'm just, like, for free?
No, I missed $4 to watch it. But...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my plan to finally see that. Daniel.
What?
I'll send you $4.
No, I'm gonna. I'll pay it. I just haven't, you know, and it's like not even that long. I should just make the time.
So did
film
the,
experience donors help Nathaniel see World of Tomorrow?
Yes.
Click the link.
$4. Your change.
Pennies a day. For the cost of a cup of coffee, you can help Nathaniel watch the movie he wants to watch today. So our most nominated movies are Carol and Trumbo, respectively, at the SAG, because everybody knew that the awards, the mainstream awards, were going to really come down to Carol and Trumbo. Head to head at last.
Well, it was a nice break from what you posted the other day about Carol and Mad Max.
Which was the best tweet. Yeah.
I just like that, like, history will remember the great Carol versus Mad Max Fury Road Wars of 2015. It's so
I think the obvious child that those two movies would have would be Harge-aired Fury Road.
Would watch.
That's a movie I would watch.
I would watch
strapping Abby to the front of his car.
Yeah. Or just like Therese and Furiosa in their own version of Spy or something like that. Just
Teo, Bugby, and I went to see Therese Rakin on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like,
big year for Therese's.
Yeah. So every time, like, anybody would say Therese in the show, which is a lot.
Yeah,
we'd be like thinking, because we admitted to each other afterwards, we'd be like, "You Bellavit," like we're just always putting Bellavit after it, whispering in our heads, you know.
Yes,
they forgot her last name.
Vince in New York, like, just weird lately. Do you guys feel like everybody's just thinking about Carol while they're grocery shopping or on the subway? Is everyone?
Well,
just
all I know is that we are always thinking about.
A little flaked out.
Yeah, Teo and I have, like, gone out 3 times recently, and every single time we, no matter what we're doing, we end up talking about Carol for like half an hour.
Aw.
So.
Absentmindedly touching other people's hats. Like.
Leaving our gloves.
Sure, eventually we'll learn each other's last names. You'll get there.
And then, and I was happy to report, because I think this didn't happen last week before the podcast, did I tell you I took my best friend to Carol?
Oh, nice.
Oh, so he is not into movies, so, like...
Oh, okay.
And he, like, he just almost will never go, so, unless it's a superhero movie, so it's very frustrating. So I was like, well, I have a screening tonight, do you want to go? And it's Carol, and he was like, oh, yeah, I do. He's like, is that the dragon tattoo girl in A Lesbian Romance? And I'm like, yes.
Whatever it takes to get him in the door.
Right. And I have never been so happy to see someone weeping at a movie because I was so relieved that he liked it.
Yeah.
And he just keeps talking about it too. So it really does affect people.
Yeah, it does.
You're like, I met a real person and he was affected as well.
But I randomly mentioned it to someone the other day and they're like, oh, I heard that was boring.
Oh,
stop it.
And I was just like, shut up. This is why we can't have nice things. This is why good movies open at like 2 theaters.
Yep.
And have to wait to expand.
Is it in Chicago yet, Nick?
Not till next week.
That's so
get on that street creepy. Corner and start hollering at people.
But I think that's true for Boston and D.C. and like still every
so
other place.
Crazy. You'd think after the Globes they'd want it in theaters for people to check out.
Might imagine. Yeah.
5 honking Golden Globe nominations.
But that's okay. I'll go see In the Heart of the Sea.
It is, it is on 16 screens right now, Carol. Uh-huh.
14
I will
of them
actually go see In the Heart of the Sea, though, so that's fine.
What was that, Nick?
14 of them are at Lincoln Plaza.
That makes perfect sense.
Which is the worst theater. Oh. Although the greatest overheard conversations.
Yeah, the overheard conversations there can get pretty good, I will say.
It's all those old ladies. They love to talk about the movies afterwards.
They sure do. And sometimes during. Often during. Globe, SAG, hurrah!
So let's move on to our big final question, which will take a while, the Christmas question.
Yes, every Christmas movie.
Yeah, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
I mean, I have a ton. I'm big on Christmas movies. I sort of enter December and haul out all my DVDs of Christmas movies that I'm gonna put on rotation throughout the season.
You're so organized.
Yeah, well, I try to be. I also my standards become less sort of cinematic and more comfortably familiar with Christmas. I could give a shit about the, critical reception to Home Alone. I will watch that thing 5 to 6 times over the holidays. I love it so much. I did a whole thing earlier this week on Decider, not to plug my own stuff because that's gross, but with about the best movies that are only tangentially about Christmas, because that's also a favorite genre, that are movies that happen to take place at Christmas, even though you never think of them as Christmas movies.
Like Die Hard?
Die Hard, Batman Returns.
That's true. Batman Returns. Yeah.
The Lion. And Tangerine's a good entry mm-hmm. to that list now. I put that on the list because that's a perfect example of that kind of thing.
But Carol, I'm always going to think of it as a Christmas movie because Christmas does play a big role in that.
That's true.
That's true. That does. While You Were Sleeping, that kind of, and of course, everybody mentions Die Hard, and Gremlins is my favorite of that. Gremlins is, I know a lot of people feel like that's a scary, Halloween-y kind of movie, but it's such a Christmas movie to mm-hmm. me.
In Sleeps in Seattle, is she going to a Thanksgiving dinner or a Christmas dinner at the beginning?
Oh my God, I just watched that 2 weeks ago and I can't even tell you.
I was trying
you.
To remember
I
if
think
that was
it's
a
Christmas.
I was trying to remember if it was a tangential Christmas movie or not.
No,
I
it's
think
Christmas because she's
Nora Ephron
Christmas
would never
song.
Deny herself pop standards, and you get those movies, not Thanksgiving.
I'm pretty sure Meg Ryan's singing a Christmas song in the car.
Yeah, she is. I think she's singing
right?
Jingle Bells. Or Horses,
something
Horses,
like that.
Horses, Horses.
Yes, that's all I remember is Horses, 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 Horses. Yeah. So yeah, that's also a good one. So it's that kind of thing. Eyes Wide Shut made my list because, of course, the classic Christmas movie, Eyes Wide Shut.
I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah,
that was my answer.
I'm always hoping that I always wish that Burlesque had a Christmas scene because whenever Burlesque is on TV, I end up watching it always. I cannot turn it off if it comes on. So I'm wishing I could say that just because I watched it 3 times this year. It's always on TV.
But I wonder if that's also true for you guys, that your sort of critical standards droop a bit when it comes to Christmas entertainment. Because I feel all of my favorites are these movies like Home Alone, Love Actually, Family Stone, movies that are, objectively speaking, messy or frustrating or whatever, and yet... Mm-hmm. They've become such traditional favorites for me, and I'm not sure whether you guys share that kind of feeling.
Well, the favorite that I was going to bring up, I feel like is kind of the opposite, in that you grow up watching It's a Wonderful Life and kind of seeing it in bits and really following it. But I think I watched it, for the first time, at least as an adult in full in college, and I was blown away by how good that movie is.
Yeah.
And right now, so the lobby at Vanity Fair, there's 3 video screens that play, they play a movie in a loop. And that's silent, and right now it's Wonderful Life, and I'll be like on my way to lunch and I'll just like turn it on and see like the scene where like it's George and oh my god, I forgot her name, his wife Donna Reed,
Mary
when they're on the phone and when they finally kiss and then they're talking to the guy on the other line, and it was so good. That movie is so good and it's so like affectionate and like well acted and dark and like thoughtful, and it's really great. So I
look
genuinely
forward to it every year.
Yeah, I like, it's really hard for me, Christmas movies, it's really hard to watch them all the way through because it's always something about my family and there's a bunch going on. Like we've always put Titanic on, which is very hard to watch all the way through because it goes on forever. But yeah, like if you can sit down and watch It's Wonderful Life from beginning to end, it's so much better than even its reputation suggests.
But I also feel like
family's
part of the
favorite movie about suicidal ideation.
Yeah, we like watching people standing at great heights and contemplating suicide and being pulled back from the ledge by a mysterious force. Titanic and It's Wonderful Life. It's a perfect double feature.
I like to watch that movie in chunks.
I want to meet your family.
Sorry, Joe, what were you saying?
I said I like how easy it is to watch that movie in bits and pieces, too, because you can sort of, you know, recorded at the beginning of the season when NBC, you know, airs it on a Saturday night that nobody's home, and just sort of like watch it like little bit by bit throughout the season, and it holds it because we're so familiar with it. It holds up on those sort of little like morsel levels.
Yeah,
too.
Well, the part that I always find myself losing track of as I'm watching it, like I can never remember what Mr. Potter is up to exactly. Like every scene with him, you're like, what? Where are we? Like you know, he's trying to shut down George Bailey, but I don't remember how.
Right.
But that's okay. You can kind of lose track of that.
It's like The Big Short. They needed Margot Robbie there to.
Here's what you've missed on It's a Wonderful Life.
What about you, Nick? What are your Christmas movies of choice?
I mean, I have like some fundamentalism about Home for the Holidays at Thanksgiving and When Harry Met Sally on New Year's Eve, but Christmas is a valley for me. Like, there's just nothing that I go back to. Although I do have a friend who has said for years that Eyes Wide Shut is her favorite Christmas movie, and she does watch it every year on Christmas Eve, so that's my favorite answer.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
I also remember reading an interview once where Juliette Binoche said that every year for Christmas, her tradition is to watch The Passion of Joan of Arc. I'm like, you're intense. I can get behind that.
I would recommend to actress sexuals that Judy Davis in The Ref is
sublime. Yeah, she's so funny in that movie.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Oh, what was I going to say? I had, like, something really good and that slipped my mind.
Oh,
the recent one, A Christmas Tale with Catherine Deneuve.
Mm.
Oh, there we go. That's a great
I really loved that movie. Right. But then, the classic, I'll always watch White Christmas if it's on.
Yeah, that's one where I feel like it isn't actually a good movie, but it sucks me in. Because basically you like to remember the ending of it, and there's some good dance numbers in between, but like there are some long stretches of that movie that are not especially entertaining. But I watch it every year, too.
And I think Nick hates this movie, but I love Miracle on 34th Street.
I like
that movie.
I'm not Mr. Potter.
And isn't the shop around the corner set? Is the shop around the corner set at Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a goodie too.
Yeah.
Now I really want to watch Sleepless in Seattle.
I know. I was thinking that too.
Okay, and since we're doing Christmas, name one movie or person you'd give a gift to this year, and who you would hand a lump of coal to. Let's start with Katie.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm trying to think this thing through. Okay, I would hand a gift to the women of Tangerine because it's Christmas Eve, and I feel like they could use a break, especially in that laundromat in the end.
Yeah.
Who would I hand a lump of coal to? That part, that's so... I'm trying to think of who's, like, wronged me in particular this year. it's an easy punching bag, but Colin Trevorrow needs to be better for the position he's been given in pop culture. So it's like a learning lesson. Like, I'm going to give you this now, and then you're going to take it and turn it into a diamond by the fact that you're able to direct everything possible.
Good answer.
It's with optimism for the future.
Yeah.
Nick?
My lump of coal still goes to the Sundance juries from last year for me and Earl and the Wolf Pack.
Wow.
What was happening? My God. But we won't dwell on that. My gift would go to Tom Courtenay, who I think gives one of the year's like very, very, very best performances about somebody that we don't actually know that well. And in 45 years, and that her, even his wife, is realizing what she doesn't know about him. But even beyond that, like all the, it just seems like in almost every scene you learn something slightly new about his, well, about everything. And I think he's so great in it, and just like in that Gordon Pinsent, Jean-Louis Trintignant way, yeah, yeah. Like all the attention has revolved around the woman in that movie. But I think he's a completely fascinating person, and somebody else who I think probably didn't have a shot anyway, but the whole idea that he's a supporting actor made it even less likely that he would get any traction. But mm-hmm. And apparently if Jennifer Lawrence didn't want a campaign, he was threatening to like burn shit down if anybody made him go anywhere, so that's fine. But I love him in that movie, so him.
I wonder what that is about movies about sort of old couples in that way, that awards attention goes exclusively to the women and not the men at all, because I have thought about that with Gordon Pinsent too, and Jean-Louis Trintignant. Like,
my theory is it's about the same reason why men don't get nominated for romantic dramas and women do, uh-huh. is that it's too considered too feminine, like the interiority of those performances.
Okay.
Not consciously. I don't think voters are thinking about that consciously, but you know, the men who get nominated are like heroes or villains, you know, like they're very sort of like great men biopics, you know. It's
right,
like
more individualist,
active, you know.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. I also think
there's such a discourse about how hard this industry is to survive for women, mm-hmm. and that when you are in your 60s or 70s or 80s and still trooping out there, there's so much just goodwill that accrues to these women who've hung in there, and in a way, I don't know if it just doesn't seem like the men have survived as much, or if a man who hasn't aged into his like 60s or 70s as Harrison Ford or Clint Eastwood just looks, you know, like déclassé or something. But I do like meeting these guys in those movies who look like my grandparents and not like Clint Eastwood, mm-hmm. is, you know, whatever. I think it's just as exciting as meeting the women again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good pick though, Nick.
Joe?
Well, I was going to do Charlotte Rampling, but now I feel like I shouldn't do that because she's been doing all the credit.
She's already gotten too much.
Yeah. Actually, she still hasn't had enough, and she, you know, she needs that boost to get into the best actress field, I think. And I think it's possible. I don't know. I don't know whether I'm foolish to hold out hope for that or not.
Or she's going to make it in.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I like that confidence.
She's
going to
make it. I have no doubts.
I'm going to give my, what's the good thing called? A gift? A ball of snow? The good thing I'm going to give to Eden, which hasn't been showing up on year-end lists, and it should more. Yeah. Katie, it was on Richard Lawson's list.
Richard Lawson's, yeah. I requested a screener
that day. Oh, and David Ehrlich's list. David Ehrlich's list.
Yes, it was on David Ehrlich's list. Yes. It's so, so good. And it opened early in the year. And it doesn't have that kind of, like, showcase acting performance that can sometimes drag a movie like that into the year-end awards conversation. But it's so worth a look. And it's so delightful and fun, and Nick and I saw it together at Toronto, and we sort of walked out of that theater and we're sort of just buzzing from how much we loved it. And it's really great. Seek it out. It's available, I would think, in some sort of on-demand format now, because it opened in theaters so long ago. Mm-hmm. My lump of coal, because I just saw it this week, goes to the first 10 minutes of The Walk, which that movie I ended up thinking was pretty okay and had some good stuff in it. But I know some people when that movie came out were talking about like the theatrical experience because of like the visuals and the 3D and whatnot. I would think that movie is a testament to the theatrical experience because you're less likely to walk out of a movie after 10 minutes than you are to like turn it off on a screener. Because like, because it's so irritating.
Yeah, and it's like off-putting for sure, the first 10 minutes. And yeah,
it's just daring you to like turn it off and break the DVD in half because it's so. And I don't think Joseph Gordon-Levitt ever gets really good in the movie, but he's never as obnoxious as he is in those first 5 to 10 minutes. It's really a trial to get through. So that.
My gift, I'm going to cheat and give three of them really quickly.
Hate ties. What is happening?
It's like three people who I don't think will ever get the credit they deserve for the movies they're in this year. Sarah Paulson and Carol.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've seen it three times now, and every single line, she talk about doing the most with the very least. Yeah. Like, that woman paints me whole characters every time I see her, like in 12 Years a Slave, on American Horror Story, even if her character doesn't make sense. Like, she's such a great actor.
When her character doesn't make sense.
Yes. she's such a great actor. So there's so much power behind everything and so much like thought, and it always feels like the same character, even if the writing isn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, in Carol, the writing's there, obviously, but in some of her other stuff, you know. Nicholas Hoult from Mad Max, who I think gets the tone exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then since he's, you know, he doesn't get that much credit for it. And then the third one is Janet Patterson for the costumes of Far From the Madding Crowd, because for some reason nobody notices, but I think she's the MVP of that entire movie.
Wow. Good, so those are selections.
Those are some good ones.
But The Lump of Coal, I can't really, like, I've just Helen Mirren enough for one. So I shouldn't do that. I will, and other people who deserve it, they've already been knocked down by the world.
Man, you made us all be mean to people, and now you're backing away. I see.
I mean, like, because I... Like, the absolute worst thing I saw this year, I will say, is Fantastic Four.
Ah. Oh, yeah, I didn't see it.
I mean, it was atrocious on every level. The acting was, like, the worst any of those people have ever been, and everything about it was terrible.
Yeah.
But they've already been beaten to a pulp about that.
They've suffered enough.
Well, yeah, and also, like, Michael B. Jordan is very well on his way to making everyone forget he was in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Right, yeah, he will recover. I don't know about everyone from that movie.
Yeah.
And then just my usual plea to casting directors, just to think outside the box a little more than they do. Because I always want to give them a lump of coals when it's the same names in every movie, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have a girl part. Rachel McAdams. Who is fine, but she doesn't need to be in everything, you know.
That would not be my first choice for who's in everything is Rachel McAdams. That's interesting. I guess she is in a lot of things. I don't know. I feel like I'm always waiting for it to be like, you know, something better.
Yeah. No, I think she's a good actress. I think the thing is she gets so many great opportunities and I never find her more than good except for in Mean Girls.
Hmm. Oh, interesting.
So people who are never more than good, I'm always like, maybe give someone else a try.
Yeah.
She is the person who, when I just saw Spotlight a second time, I got most excited about.
Really?
Yeah, I think
compared to my first
Spotlight.
Reaction. Like, I liked her the first time, but I think she's doing a lot of work in that.
Okay, I'll see it again, for sure.
I'm excited to see Spotlight a second time, I will say, for,
me too.
For stuff like that.
Me
yeah.
too.
Because, like, I saw it in the middle of so many movies in Toronto. I think it was smack dab in the middle of the festival. So I am eager to see it again, too.
You can consult my helpful study guide that I just posted this morning.
Yeah.
I just read it this morning. Talk about thorough, Nick. Like, you
have your reporter's notebook out.
You even give, like, the past credits of everyone involved.
What kind of time turner are you working? Like, like Hermione Granger shit are you on where all of a sudden you're... I mean, you've been doing so much stuff. Like, I can't imagine how you find enough time in the day to do all the top 100 reviews and the study guides and everything. Like, kudos.
How am I possible? What can I
how
say?
How are you possible? Yeah. Yes.
That was also the theme of the ending of the last podcast.
How are you possible?
Yeah, and if this becomes a trope, that's cool.
We'll make it a meme.
We've replaced Sophie Okonedo with praising Nick for his praising output. Nick.
Yeah, yeah. Sophie, we'll get back to you, don't worry.
I haven't seen her in a while, though.
No.
I know.
Derek really loved Spotlight, and we walked out and we're talking about how good it was for like 10 minutes and this that we liked about it and that we liked about it. And he's like, so what are you giving it on your site? I said, I think I'll give it a B+. He's like, what the fuck? We just talked about for 15 minutes how we like everything about it. What is wrong with you? You saw Carol. It wasn't like that. Did I already say this when we podcasted about it, Nathaniel? Maybe I did. Whatever. People deserve to hear it again.
That's right.
Yeah, because like we did the Carol podcast way before people could see it. So,
no, I mean that's the Spotlight.
True. We were.
Oh, yeah.
Two other recent. You don't even need to record this part necessarily, but two other recent Derek exclamations that are worth preserving are how mad he was at me yesterday when he's like, "What is this movie you're watching?" Like, this is where Jack Black is trying to organize his high school reunion, and he winds up having sex with James Marsden. What? You kept this movie from me. Why would you keep it from me? Why don't you tell me about things I need to know? James Marsden has sex with somebody in this movie? A man? So
I'm still...
That part, though, isn't as good as
it's
you
It's not hope as it. Hot as
When
you
I
hope.
Heard that was happening, I was like, I have to see this movie. This sounds so inexplicable. But then everyone else hated so much of everything else in that movie.
I actually liked that movie.
I didn't I hate it.
Person.
I will just say it... promises more than it delivers when it comes to James Marsden having sex with a fat guy, is all I'm saying. Like, sometimes people need hope in their lives. And some people need.
Is there a James Marsden sex scene somewhere else in the world that we need to see, like, to make up for this? I can't even think of one.
I don't know whether he's, like, secretly prudish or whatever, but, like, you're right.
It sounds like an investigative journalist piece somebody needs to do.
This is our serial. Yes.
Spotlight, right here. Yeah, this is their next story. And then the other amazing Derek moment was, what was that horrible Lars von Trier movie you made me watch where that pig face guy was crying the whole time?
And be more specific.
Synecdoche, New York? He said, yes!
Oh, perfect. Excellent.
I have learned the language. I know who I'm dealing with.
That's even better than the girl with the dragon tattoo having a lesbian affair.
That does sound like a Girl with the Dragon Tattoo sequel.
Right.
It does. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, actually, that was just the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Right. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We hope you have a very happy holidays and try to catch up on as many movies as possible because literally everything is going to be out in movie theaters in the next.
Even if you somehow don't have access to screeners, there are other ways to see movies, I promise you.
Yeah, like when I spent forever.
A lot of things are opening for Christmas.
I spent forever struggling through a screener link of Welcome to Me until someone told me it was on Netflix. And I really could have saved myself the trouble.
Check Netflix, check your on-demand. There are ways.
There are some movies on Vimeo now. There's all sorts of things. Yeah. And Tangerine is streaming, so everybody please watch that. It's perfect for the holidays.
Yep.
And Phoenix, I hear, which I haven't seen. I hear that's on Netflix now.
Oh, yeah. Phoenix. So. Phoenix is another one I watched through a crappy screener link and then found out it was on Netflix. It's amazing.
Awesome.
So happy holidays to everybody, and... thanks again to Joe Reed from Decider.
Thanks.
Katie Rich from Vanity Fair.
Hi, everybody.
Nick Davis from Nick's Flick Picks.
I really am pretty great. I've just been thinking about that.
And I'm your host, Nathaniel, and we will see you after the holidays.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore, faithful friends who were near to us will be dear to us once more. Someday soon we all will be together if the fates until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow.